Amen. He said, dude, you got a shower over there? I said, yes, sir. And so he's going to camp out, and we're going to have a great time. 1:30. Everybody say 1:30. And so come hungry, bring that covered dish. We're going to have a great time of fellowship in the presence of the Lord. I know it's going to be good. As we pray, let's just pray that God's protection will be over the house and all of his people, especially during this season. A lot of crazy things can happen. And, the enemy would love to take the focus off of Christ, but Jesus is the central figure. Somebody say amen. And we love him. Praise God. Everybody just say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Yes, we love you, Lord. Amen. And so we have a great service plan today and a lot of good things happening. So we're just going to enjoy the presence of the Lord and ask him to have his way today. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, God is good. All the time, all the time. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you today. What an awesome privilege it is, Lord, to worship you. Oh, God, who are we that you should choose, Lord, us to rescue by your Son? We thank you, Father, that 2,000 years ago that you gave the very best that you had. The depths of sin, the darkness of sin took the greatest, greatest gift that could possibly be given. It would cost the blood of God. We thank you today for that sinless, spotless lamb, Jesus, that died for us. Had to be him, you said in the word. Lord, so therefore we rejoice today that we are washed, we are clean. Lord, and I pray today, may every heart be drawn toward you, and Lord, may you be magnified. Oh God, what a privilege to be a Christian, to be a child of God. And we pray today, if there's one that doesn't know you, that Lord, you'd wrap your loving arms around them. Draw them to yourself. Show them who you are, Lord, how great you are, what you've done for them through Jesus. And we give you praise and thanks for that today. Bring healing, bring comfort, Father God, to the Newman family. Bring healing to hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said amen. One more praise to him this morning. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. Gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. A hallelujah with everything inside of me. Come on. I raise a hallelujah and I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. Raise a hallelujah. Feel the lost your hold on me. Oh. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. Oh, the King is. Middle of the storm, louder and louder. They're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. louder.
Sing a little 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 louder.
Come on. Yes, sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes.
I'm gonna sing, come on.
Me. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. For the King.
I raise a hallelujah.
Come on, let's raise it.
I raise a hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
Come on.
Oh, I raise a hallelujah.
Come on, let me hear your hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
I'm gonna sing now, come on.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. For the King.
Morning. Somebody shouted out, say, hallelujah. Say, hallelujah. Interpret it now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty? So much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Come on. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leads us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of Lord, the King above all kings.
Come on.
This is amazing grace.
This unfailing love that you would take my. That you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I could be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Chaos back into order.
the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shining like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah. This is amazing grace.
Praise Him this morning. Mm-hmm. Step out and greet a few people this morning. Say, man, you look good. You look good. All right, you may be seated this morning. Amen. Let's have the ushers to come. We're going to worship the Lord in our giving today. I said I had a blow out on my guitar.
now. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Lord, when I tithe, the devourer is rebuked. The one who eats seed is rebuked. Thank you that you, through this act of obedience, open to me your good treasure. Lord, you cut off the seed eater and you meet my every need. I shall not want because of you and your great plan. And I worship you today in giving. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Let's see if there's anybody else I can pick on this morning. Let's see. Barry's wanting to get on with it. And I'm like, man, y'all look good this morning. Praise God. You know, we got a special treat here. You know, we have the Hutchins family, Lori and Barry. They're both going to sing songs this morning, and I know we're going to be blessed, you know, by them. So just sit back but before that happens, I got Dolly's going to do a dance for us. Hey, Miss Dolly, you come up. I'm telling you, the first time that Dolly came to me when they moved here from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. When they moved here, but they did live in Ohio or something out there, Buckeye State. Did you bring us any Buckeyes? Okay, well, they're not worth nothing. Amen. Did you bring us any Bucks? No, I'm just kidding. Amen. But, you know, Dolly, man, from the first time, she wanted to do a dance and a song. And, you know, I love it, you know, when people are anointed to do that because they project out of their heart. And it was such a powerful thing. And so she has always been a blessing. And so this morning, we want her to just worship the Lord.
Oh, holy night, and the stars are brightly shining.
Grateful chorus ring. Amen. How many of you know Holy Spirit speaks? Yes. It's amazing how the Lord put that song on both of our hearts to do today. I really think he wants us to remember that it was a holy night. O night divine. And we need to keep that in mind this season with all the rat race and all the things, the plans that we have. But just keep that holy night at the center of this Christmas season.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night.
He was her man, she was his wife. And late one winter night, he knelt by her as she gave birth. But it wasn't his child. It wasn't his child. Yet still he took him as his own. As he watched him grow, it brought him joy. He loved that boy, but it wasn't his child. It wasn't his child. And like a father, he was strong and kind and good. And I believe he did his best. Wasn't easy for him, but he did all he could. His son was different from the rest. It wasn't his child. It wasn't his child. And And when the boy became a man, and took his father's hand, and soon the world would all know why it wasn't his child. It wasn't his child. And like his father, he was strong and kind and good. And I believe he did his best. It wasn't easy for him, but he did all he could. He grew up with his hands in wood, and he died with his hands in wood. He was God's child. He was God's child. He was her man, she was his wife. And late one winter night, he knelt by her as she gave birth. But it wasn't his child. He was God's child.
Awesome, man. Let's stand together this morning. Amen. Whew, let's just give God a praise offering this morning. Amen. My, my, my. Gracious me. Lord, have mercy. Somebody said that was good. That was good. Let's turn our Bibles today to Luke chapter number 2, verse number 7 through 14, and then also 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 through 14, and also 2 Corinthians 9 through 15. And it is good to see you in God's house today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 2. And the Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you." Aren't you glad for signs? "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15, the Bible says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Father, thank you today for your word. And I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to move upon our hearts today. Father, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Cause every word to come forth accurately, boldly, as you'd have it to come. Let your peace be upon us. And Father, I pray today, God, give us understanding. Let our eyes and ears be circumcised, Lord, to hear. Let there be breakthrough through the denseness and all the activity of the world
Father, that seems to harden us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Speak to me, Lord. Speak through me. Speak for me today. Lord Jesus, work your mighty work as only you can. Break every work of the enemy. We plead the blood of Jesus against every bondage, against every device, against every wile. Subdue that because you've already done it. And today we thank you, Lord. We thank you for victory. That's what our testimony is today. Victory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, I was sitting here thinking this morning when Dolly was up ministering and Barry and Laura Lee were singing and praise and worship and everything that we do to magnify God. And absolutely, it's indescribable. I mean, we at our best try to do things to describe God, to magnify him, to lift him up or put him in a light where people can see him and be touched, you know, by his presence. The Apostle Paul, like at the end of this chapter in 2 Corinthians, or in this chapter, as he's speaking, you know, to the people, it's like just almost out of the blue, he gives this phrase, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Because if you can't comprehend it, look at somebody and say, you can't comprehend it. You just can't comprehend it. It's like when one is asked to define Christmas. I mean, we've got all these answers that begin to come forth and things that we can relate to. We think about, well, the birth of Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. I was asking the praise team this morning. I'm getting where I asked them questions. I said, you know, what does Christmas mean? I said, what are we doing this for? What is this? What is this today? And, you know, you get answers like, well, it's a time of joy. Praise God. It is a time of joy. It's a peace, goodwill toward men, the scripture says. What a powerful phrase, because that's what the angel said. Peace, goodwill toward men. How many need peace today? Goodwill toward men. God wills that we have peace. Goodness. That's his will. And then you think it's a time to give. It's a time to receive. It is a time to forget past hurts. Because Christmas oftentimes can be a very tender time, especially if you've lost a loved one or you have family differences and you know, things could have happened, you know, through the past, and you have a loved one. Maybe mom and dad are in heaven. Maybe a child is in heaven. But Christmas can be a tender time. You know, when we are asked to define it, there's a lot of stuff that begins to come to mind, but it's a time to forget past hurts, because the gift that God gave, if we could really see it, if it could be revealed to us, overshadows everything. It's a time of great freedom. You think about the freedom. I know yesterday they had the parade here in Patrick County, didn't they? And I think in other places there were parades. And think about the parades that they'll be having on TV, the Thanksgiving parade. But really all of those things lead up to God. I think about the people that make floats and all the different stuff that goes into that. And somebody's trying to express something, you know. It may be about self, but so oftentimes we try to do it unto him. Somebody say, unto him, unto him. So it's a time where we want people to experience freedom, that they have been made free to express themselves unto the Lord, to magnify him, and to give glory to his name. We think about the family gatherings and the love, because that's one of the things that comes to mind. My God, I can't wait till my family gets together, but I think I'm going to be wore out before they get here. See, I knew I was going to hit a good one on that one. Y'all just said, man, I know. I got to cook a turkey, I got to do dressing, I got to do gravy, I get to. So it is a time of family gatherings and love. And you know, when So oftentimes we sit around the table and there may be a person missing. But nonetheless, as Christians, we focus on the fact that they are with God. Amen. Time to focus on God and His unspeakable gift that the Apostle Paul talks about. But whatever one may define Christmas as, I love the little saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. It's His presence, not the presence. And it really is. His presence demands attention. I mean, man, nobody has to tell anybody that December 25th is coming. I don't care how many wizards and buzzards and warlocks and whatever they do on Halloween, you know what? You still can't hide the fact that December 25th is coming. Somebody say it's coming. It's coming. And it'll be here sooner than you think. I don't want to pressure anybody, but it's coming. Somebody say it's coming. So it stands alone in unsurpassed grandeur. My God, I mean, some of you sitting here thinking about, man, I want to go to Winston-Salem and see those lights, or I want to drive over here and see these lights, or, you know, I want to go see somebody's tree in their house. I want to do that. And the thing about it is, like, you know, I remember growing up, my dad, you know, we always had a real tree. We would go out in the cow pasture and cut that thing down, a cedar. Man, it filled the house with that aroma. And then that thing would be decorated. But back then, we had the big old Christmas lights. How many remember the big Christmas lights? Not LED, man. These dudes would burn you if you touched them. I mean, they were huge. I mean, my dad would string those lights on there, and my mother would get out the decorations. Man, I was so excited as a kid. You know, your heart's beating, and you're thinking all this stuff, you know, and there's a few presents under the tree, and you want to know what they are. And my dad was a prophetic person when it come to, like, chicka, chicka, chicka. He could tell you every time what it was. My mom would get so mad. I knew you was going to guess that. I said, now, he really didn't know what it was. I said, but now you've really told him what it is. Amen. But just really good at guessing. You know, I'm leading to something. And then the last thing that he would do would stand back. How many like icicles? I mean, he was the kind of guy, he didn't. Some people go like this. They do them one at a time. And they'll stand back. My dad just got one like this. He was like sowing seed in a field. You know, it's like. And he would just laugh, and man, I'm telling you, he had that thing covered. He'd say, we need some more packs of icicles. It's just like, and that thing would be loaded down. It would be filled up. But the reason for that is because there's just something about Christmas. And remember, you can't separate Christmas from Christ. Something about decorating that tree, that you wanted to do that with everything that's within you, or decorate your house, or put little whatnots up, and everything's about Christmas and little special things. I know that I've got a little reindeer that we probably had. I don't know how many years old that thing is, but it's real nostalgic. And then I have a little Santa Claus about that big that rings a bell. My dad bought that years ago. It was his, and so it was passed down to us. And so I have one sitting on this side and one sitting on that side. And I don't care if anything else gets decorated or not. You better bring the reindeer out, and you better put that Santa Claus out. Amen. But, man, I'm telling you, Deborah, you know, Mary Jane came over this year and helped decorate the tree. I'm sure y'all saw the elf on the mantelpiece. They decorated the tree. But Deborah's, yesterday, she was putting other stuff out, and she was asking me, you know how men are. I'm like, yeah, I want you to jump up and down. I want you to shout, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, I said, that looks great. It's awesome. Hallelujah. It's like, you know, it's like when you're training a dog and you want it to do everything that you trained it to do. And, you know, it's like, but it does. Our house looks awesome. Always does at Christmas time, because Christmas is special. It is very, very special. And, you know, you put pictures of your relatives up in the tree and different things, you know, that you do in memorial of them. And why? Because, number one, you know, it all points to Christ. This is what we're getting at. So hang out with me now. Hang out with me. It all points to Jesus, who is the unspeakable gift. Many times we're just not cognizant of this momentous event that takes place. I mean, that's why they have the parades and why they do all the stuff and why they cut out things and put up all the things, you know, that they do. And so one has to understand when it comes to Christmas time, you know, all that's happening is to magnify him and to bring glory to his name. And so for really to get a good picture of Christmas and what Christmas is all about, you got to look to Jesus, because in order for me to understand him, I have to understand sin before I can understand righteousness. He came to bring me righteousness. I was blackened with sin. I was stained with sin. I was lost in sin. I was on my way to hell, but Jesus came and turned that around. If you can understand this morning, and especially if you're without Christ today, the good feeling that you just get about Christmas, well, you couldn't magnify it enough to understand what it's like to be born again and to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you have to have been in the darkness before you can really appreciate the light. Amen. Because it can get dark in our lives. Now think about all the people right now that are in such depression, you know, because when the time comes and they begin to meditate or think about all the stuff that's happened to them, maybe they've had someone who's passed away with COVID, maybe they're sick themselves, maybe the year hasn't gone, it's planned, and maybe there's a lot of bad stuff that's happened. Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's a family member, it could be 10,000 different things. Maybe it is dark. That's what I'm saying. And you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm just not happy. I don't have any joy. I don't have any peace. My life is nothing. I'd rather be dead than alive. If you're thinking that way, I'm telling you today, it's because you do not understand that darkness that you're in. Once you see the light, I'm trying to get you to see something. Why is a little kid that we love decorating the tree? Because it brought light. It brought life. It did something. I'm like, my God, what's this all about? And then all of a sudden, it's the Christmas story. It's because Jesus came. He was born. Amen. So you have to have been afflicted before you can appreciate peace. And when I talk about afflictions, I'm talking about brokenness, hurts, pain in your life. See, when you experience that kind of pain and you're down and you're out and life is crushing you from the top side, see, it helps you to understand. Jesus came to take away the pain of my afflictions. He was bruised for my iniquities. When you bruise, you bleed on the inside. Somebody may see the spot, but they don't know what it came from and the pain that you felt. And so oftentimes when we get cut and we bleed on the outside, we can see that. But there's people that have bruises, mental anguish, mental pain, stuff they struggle with. Why was I born into this? Why did this happen to me? And so you have to understand affliction before you can understand peace. Jesus is peace. He's peace. Somebody said, I want peace. Get Jesus. Amen. One has to have known death before one understands life. It's like whether it's a mother that you buried, or a father that you buried, or a brother that you buried, or a son that you buried, or a daughter that you buried, or a wife, or a husband, or whoever. The fact of the matter is this, if they were in Christ, they are not dead. They are alive. They are in the presence of Almighty God. They're more alive than we are right now. To be absent from the body is to be present with the one who came as in a manger, died on the cross for us. Somebody say, he's alive, they're alive. Makes all the difference in the world. Little wonder Paul says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And man, see, this thing, the definition of it is so powerful in the Greek because we miss it. Matter of fact, they even have a hard time describing it because it's talking here and referring about the Christmas gift. The Christmas gift. The Greek word says it's indescribable. So forget it. You couldn't talk about it enough to describe it. Isn't that amazing? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Somebody say, well, what did you get? Let me see. What can I liken it to? Now, you know that feeling you get when you get a new car? Oh, you know that feeling you get when you get a new pair of shoes or somebody, you know, you remember that gift that you got that you just wanted and my God, you got it and how good that you felt. You remember when this person did this for you, when you were proposed to, when you got married, you remember when your first child was born. That kind of is, but it's not near that good. I'm trying to describe it to you, but I just can't. Amen. You know, it would be that feeling like for somebody, well, you know, you're in debt over your eyeballs, you know, you're under the bottom of the trash can, and somebody comes along and said, you know what, God told me to give you $5 million. Your tongue would be left here on the ground, you'd be running up and down the streets, and you'd be excited, but I'd be saying, that kind of describes it, but that's still not near where it's at. Oh my God, indescribable. Indescribable. It's like that chocolate piece of cake, my God, and the perfect cup of coffee, and you sit down and you're that thing is melted in your mouth. Somebody said, man, he must really, I'm like, yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. And you're sitting and saying, man, I'm just telling you right now, I've eaten a lot of pieces of cake, but I drink a lot, but this is the bomb. And you're thinking like, that's not even near where it's at. Amen. The best day of your life and multiplied one, you know, infinity to infinity, and it's multiplied. Paul says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift, the unspeakable gift that God gave us 2,000 years ago, because you cannot begin to describe or even understand how good it feels, how great it is, how powerful it is, and what it does for you, because it's the gift that keeps on giving every single second of the day and makes it better and better and better and better and better. Praise God. Amen. Wow. How in the world could we even explain something like this is what Paul is telling about. God wrapped up in flesh. I think about the kenosis theory that they give in Philippians chapter number 2 and sitting in that college room years ago and that professor getting up and said, he said that God emptied himself. And when you begin to think about what God went through to get here, it's mind-blowing. He emptied himself. What do you mean he emptied himself? He limited himself. The heavens of heaven could not contain him. That'd be like me trying to take Brian, who comes. He's not here today. He's maybe in Florida or whatever. But it'd be like me taking Brian and... you know, taking six of him and trying to stuff him in a Volkswagen. Somebody look at somebody and say, it ain't gonna work. Amen. How can you take a God that the heavens of heavens cannot contain and fit him inside of a human body? How could you take the United States and fit it into Israel? It's impossible. He limited himself. You got to get this. He limited himself. He unrobed himself of his appearance. He limited himself. Man, what an awesome thing. Lots of scholars have many different views of how they talk about the kenosis theory, the kenotic theory. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself. He took off what he existed as. Amen. It's sort of like Dr. Cho was in heaven, I remember years ago, and he was giving the testimony, and he said this. He ran, his church grew to over 1 million people in South Korea. And Dr. Cho gave this little story that he told about what he did. He said, what I did, I just, you know, went outside, I put a coat on, and I went out, and I stood in line. I wanted to see why anyone would stand in a line in snow and sub-zero freezing weather for over an hour to get in my church. And he said, I stood in line and I talked to people in line. They didn't know who he was. Because when you sit in a church, he's down here and you're like back here. You know what I'm saying? You got that many people going on in the service. But this is what they told him. They said, oh, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. You got to hear Dr. Cho. He says, really, is anybody this good? He is good. And so he was asking the questions, and they were telling him this. And I began to listen to that. He broke down. He was just crying. He said, I'll never understand it. He said, the only thing that I can best comprehend
is that in some meager way that I represent Christ to the point that they can see him. Oh my God, man. Woo, glory to God, man. If you ever see him, you can't deny him. You won't want to get away from him. If you ever find out who he is and what he did for you, it'll make you run to him. See, I sit under religion for years and people want me to be saved and born again, but it was in the midst of my pain that the pain taker came and took the pain out, introduced himself and lifted me up far above that. And one of those scriptures that comes to mind is that Paul gives that he made him, the one that disrobed himself, limited himself, crawled inside of a flesh and blood body to begin with, number one. He was holy sperm inside of a woman's womb. Are you hearing me? Without sin and spotless. He was not conceived by an earthly man, but the Virgin Mary, come on, was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And she conceived and he was born sinless, spotless. It took that blood. Somebody say sinless, spotless blood. And he was birthed like anybody else with birth material all over him. He was wet and smelly and nasty when he came out of that womb. Are you listening to me? With at the birth all over him. And he was laid in an animal trough where the animals ate out of. It was in a cave type thing that he was born in. That God, listen, that God, when man sinned in the garden, you have to remember this. Every day, God came down and communed with his son, Adam. Adam was the son of God, the first son of God, just like you and I, created in that garden, put in an environment that was sinless and where he would live forever. And the father of his son, Adam, would come down and dwell, God did, every day to talk to him in the cool of the day. Now listen. Until Adam, his wife Eve was tempted by the devil and partook of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Adam didn't know sin, didn't know fear, didn't know pain, didn't know lust, didn't know temptation, didn't know any of it. No. Didn't know darkness, didn't know war, didn't know all the stuff that we know. He didn't know. He just knew holy, holy, holy God. He was placed in an environment of creation, named all the animals and every living thing that there was. I want you to get this. Now listen to me. Now listen to me. There he was, God the Son, Adam. Somebody say, God's Son, Adam. Read your Bible. God's Son, Adam. He loved his wife so much, he entered into the same sin and forfeited everything that God gave to him. Listen, that's the first time fear had ever been introduced. Remember I told you that last week. Fear didn't come into the picture until then. Pain didn't come into the picture then. Heartbreak didn't come into the picture till then. Darkness didn't come into the picture till then. Listen, there was nothing in the earth that was evil. No way. Until they went and picked that fruit off of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what, my friend? The more fruit you pick off of that tree in your life, the worse it gets. That tree is still being picked on today. We're still reaching and taking fruit from it and getting introduced to sexual immorality, getting introduced to anger, getting introduced to unforgiveness, getting introduced to hatred, getting introduced to war, getting introduced to corruption, getting introduced to pain, getting introduced to all the darkness that's in the world. Amen. I mean, like the school shootings that took place this week. I mean, what kind of a Christmas present is that? I mean, think to yourself now. But I want you to get a picture of that, because that is exactly what Satan wants to bring into your life. And it is a describable gift. It's doom and darkness and hell. It's absence from the presence of God. It is loneliness and it's being depressed, because that's all that hell has. That's all that the devil has. It is outer darkness, Jesus described hell as. Totally different. But see, in that garden, God the Son, Adam, the first man, fell. Somebody say he fell. He sinned. He sinned. You know, God could have left him laying there. God took that tree of life because he could have taken it. See, the devil didn't want you partaking of the tree of life, because the devil knows the more you eat the tree of life, the more you're going to see and comprehend who Jesus is. He's going to be able to be more describable to you. The more you eat him, the more you worship him, the more you serve him, the more you embrace him. Come on, somebody. The more you do, the more you understand. You can say, my God, this is good life. This is good living right here. Man, this is awesome. And so you begin to make decisions. I don't want that tree of knowledge of fruit and good and evil. I want the tree of life. I want Jesus. But you see, this is the fact of the matter, is that God loved you and God loved Adam, his son, so much that he did the only thing that he could do to come and redeem you and me. He emptied himself. Can you hear heaven? Don't leave. Don't go. Stay. Why do you have to do this? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. So you begin to understand, man, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. I'm not trash anymore. I'm not an outcast anymore. I'm not a second-rate person any longer. Come on, somebody. I'm not at the bottom of the list. Oh, come on now, somebody. I'm not a forget about you. I don't want nothing to do with you. No. I'm at the top of his list. And the thing about God with him and us is we're all number ones. The devil can't even be a zero. God help me get this out. Because this is important. He emptied himself. He limited himself. He got in that flesh and blood body. He went in there. He was birthed like any other man. And he grew up in this earth. Just like we do. Had the opportunity to hang around the wrong crowd. Had the opportunity to sin. Had the opportunity to do wrong. Somebody said, but he was God. Yes, but he was man. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like. The Bible said he got angry when he went into the temple and saw the money changers changing money, you know, and wanting people to buy the little sacrifices and things that had become a money gimmick. Remember that? And he overthrew the tables of the money changers. He was angry. He looked on the crowd that day when the man with the withered hand was in the temple, and the Bible said he looked on them with anger. Jesus gets stirred up when he sees his creation being messed with. And the devil at work trying to keep people from coming to him. Somebody say that upsets God. Man, you'll make God angry. Just began to tell people something different about Jesus and trying to keep people away from the house of God or turn them away from Christ. You want to get the Father riled up. That's how you do it. But now listen. Listen, the Bible says that he made him, his son, Jesus, the second Adam. We're not going to go into Adam's life because he had a lot of heartache and misery that came as a result of that sin. But man did all through the years. Multitudes died. Hundreds of thousands and millions died. In sin. Hell has been populated. The Bible says in Isaiah, hell hath enlarged herself because so many people have gone there. But Jesus, somebody say Jesus, the one who put off that appearance to become a man because he made a decision in the garden, the Father did. He said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed, and you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bust your head. He's going to put you out of commission. Somebody say, praise God. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest. Jesus made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. But this is the classic scripture that I want you to get. Is that when Jesus Christ came, he came for the sole purpose, that indescribable gift, because we can't even begin to describe what would make a God that was perfect and sinless, that lives forever. What would make him love us enough that we can read a scripture like, he made him, Jesus, to be sin, our sin. Yeah. He made him to be your sin, Dan. He made him to be your sin, Israel. He made him to be my sin. God in heaven put up on his son Jesus your sin, Jeff, my sin, all of our sins. He made him, his son, to be made our sin. Matter of fact, Isaiah said it pleased the Father to bruise his son. I'm like, I'm just telling you, man, you think, I know I got parents in here, you got little kids, you just think, you let somebody touch mine and see what happens. But see, the Father knew the only way that you could get righteousness and peace and goodness and kindness and life and eternity with him was for him to send his only begotten son. And the only way for that to happen is the Father is going to put up on him your sin, my sin, and the sin of every human being that ever lived. I don't care what it was. Ted Bundy's. The guy that marched in the school the other day and murdered those other young people. The other school shootings. I mean, well, you know, we don't like to, he took Hitler's, he bore Hitler's sin. If Hitler had repented and came to Christ, he could have got saved. I'm telling you, Charles Manson could have been born again. This is how powerful that blood is. See, the thing about it, it's hard for us to even fathom a person like that can be forgiven. But God wants you to understand, there's some of the vilest people that have ever lived that have confessed Christ, their sins are washed away, and they became advocates for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they shook nations for the glory of God. Perverts, molesters. I mean, and on the list goes murderers. You think about all these things. See, we look down our noses so oftentimes at the addicts and the prostitutes and the alcoholics and the people that are living in shame. But I'm going to tell you, the power of that blood that he shed on Calvary was to break the chains off of your life, to set you free from the power of sin and death. It's his blood. It's his blood. It's his blood. It's his blood. The sinless, spotless blood. And it is indescribable how in the world the Father could give his son to do that. Because the Father said, okay, if you're in agreement, son, this is what's going to go down. You're going to have to come, be born. You're going to have to live and preach the gospel of good news and introduce the kingdom. And you are going to have to be crucified on an old rugged cross. And you're going to have to be treated and abused like no man. Your visage is going to be marred. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be bludgeoned. You're going to have a gangrene in your body. You're going to be crucified. The most horrid death that there is. You are going to have to die on a curse, a tree. He said, Daddy, I don't care. Because that's our man. The devil thinks that he has him. The devil thinks we won't do it. The devil thinks man's not worth it. Come on, have you ever met somebody and talked to them about God and them just didn't want nothing to do with it? And you're thinking to yourself, man, if you understood who I was talking about and who I'm telling you about right now, you'd receive this gift that God has for you. Amen. But see, Satan's still blinding their mind, man. He's trying to hold them in bondage. But I got enough sense to know, buddy, when this gospel penetrates, the light is going to come. Hell can't stop it. There is a time that the glory of that light is going to shine through. Hallelujah. I think to myself so many times when I was growing up and my mom and dad tried to get me to go to church and I just kept on being a hellion. Kept on doing what I wanted to do, living like I wanted to do. Going the path that I wanted to go. And you know what? I thought I had plenty of time. And then mom would pop in and tell me, she had a dream about you last night. We were in heaven, but you weren't. And then she got where she had prayer meetings in the house. And she was praying. I had conviction on me. And I got miserable. Anybody listening to me today? I tried to run from it, Dan. I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran. And my dad, my father would come in and try to drag me out of the bed on a Sunday morning just for me to run out of the house and get away from that. Oh, but I'm going to tell you right now, I wish to God that I could go back and undo the sin that I committed in my life that caused me to come to Christ to begin with. Are you hearing me today? We don't get saved because we see glory stars and have all these great things happening. We get saved because we don't want to go to hell and because we know that somebody paid the price and we're so miserable and low in our life that we have nowhere else to turn. That's where I was. I didn't have anywhere else to go. I remember getting down. I was just trying to write a song about this the other day in my head. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, you know, I got down on my knees and I knelt beside that bed and I was praying. And it was so dumb. I mean, the prayer was just so dumb, so self. It's just like, all right, I can't run any further. That was kind of my attitude. I want to tell you, I was hurting so bad inside at that point, I was willing to do anything because I had been taught religion. I've been taught religion. Religion confines you, bores you, beats you down, keeps you from being who God wants you to be. But the moment that I became born again, I had a kenosis. It means the light came on. The light came on and all of a sudden I was alive. And then I felt shame. I felt so ashamed because of what I had done and the sins that I had committed. And everything within me says, oh God, I don't want to ever sin again. I just want to live right. I just want to live for you. I don't want to ever bring shame upon your name again. I want to live in a manner, God, that will glorify you, Father. I just want you to be able to have your way in my life. See, everything turned around at that moment. My thinking changed. That's what that indescribable gift. Somebody say, how did it happen? I don't know. But I can tell you this, I'm so glad that I didn't listen to the other voice that I listened to so many times before that told me, you know, hey, you don't need this right now. Don't do this right now. Just, you know, stay away from it, et cetera, et cetera. Because that's what happens in that moment. When the Holy Spirit comes to draw you to the Father, hell shows up, talking you out of it. Talking to you, oh my God, he talked me out of it so many times. But I didn't have anywhere else to go. Nowhere else to turn. Nowhere else to run. I felt so ashamed. But I felt so good when I prayed. I felt so good. I said, I'm going to keep it a secret. Everybody that I saw said something happened. I said, whoa, what? They said, I don't know, man, something different. I'm like, I hadn't dressed any different. I don't think I look any different, but I had a glow. I had life. My God. I couldn't describe to you this morning what happened on the inside of me the day that Christ came and saved my life. I wanted to die. Didn't want to live. And something happened within a few seconds of praying that prayer. Listen, he broke sexual immorality off of me like snapping a matchstick. I didn't ever want to see another beer. I didn't want to hang out with the wrong people. Are you listening to me? I didn't want to go to the hell holes that I went to. Everything changed at that moment because my eyes got open. You know what happened the next week? I went witness to the people that I used to do that stuff with and told them that I had gotten born again. For I went to the beer party that they were having where they brought the keg out. I went in and I told them, I said, I've accepted Jesus and I can't do that anymore. I said, because I'm saved. Hallelujah. And everybody who was my friend, I never saw again. They never called me, never looked me up, never asked me for a cigarette, never asked me for a beer, never asked me to do anything else in life. You know why? Because it was in contradistinction to that kind of a lifestyle. But I got another lifestyle. See, that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to come and change everything. Now listen, I can't describe it. I've attempted to put it on paper. Oh yeah, I'm serious. I've attempted to put it in songs. I'm like, there are no words. Karamashanda mahaya. That's what you'd have to write. Katarabaha shatarabaha baba. And they'd be saying, what's that? I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm It's indescribable. Amen. They say, have you heard that song on the radio? Shakara da Bahasa. Indescribable. How can one explain such an so Paul called it unspeakable, but the Greek says indescribable, unspeakable, beyond words, inexpressible. Wow. So if we begin to ponder on what happened when Jesus came and put on that flesh and blood and went to that cross for you and I, man, it's life-changing. It's life-altering. Amen. That's why it becomes a privilege to turn sin down instead of a temptation. It's like, no, man, I got to covenant with my God. You don't know who I know. And that's not being arrogant. Their eyes are not circumcised. Their ears are not circumcised. Their heart's not circumcised. And I understand that. It's like God said about Israel. He said, having ears they hear not, having eyes they see not. He said they can't perceive it. They can't get it. But see, the Bible said that on that day, and this is kind of the way that this thing happens. You got to think, you know, after Malachi, that's what they call the silent years, about a 400-year period. No angel showed up. Nobody prophesied. None of this kind of stuff was going on. And the Bible said suddenly something happened. Somebody say suddenly. Suddenly. I love suddenlies. Amen. Galatians 4:4 said, and when the fullness of time was come, Jesus was standing at the door waiting for the precise moment in time, because he was in eternity. In world history, on this earth, he was standing at the door ready to step out of an eternal dimension into the dimension of time. And he came as that little baby. He grew up. He wowed the crowds and awed them. And he told them, I am that I am. The word Jesus, Yahweh, Adonai. The word Jesus, I am the self-existent one that rescues. The last part of that, Jesus, that saves, that delivers, that breaks the darkness. My God, my God. Woo, man, I'm telling you, when he walks into the room, it lights up, things change. Come on, somebody. I remember a couple of years ago, and Jeremiah was in, and little Shelby, you know, our grandniece was with them, and little Henry, and the other parts of the people in the family. Man, we had decorated. I mean, that tree, my God, you walked in there, it felt like you were in the presence of the king. You walked in there, saw that tree. Shelby walked in that room, and she went, and she, just a big old smile came on her face, and she started talking that baby stuff. Kayala maka, whatever it was, I don't know. And she was overwhelmed. My God, that's the way God is, people. Why would we want to run anywhere else? Why would we want to go to the broken cisterns of this world that produce more toxic garbage than anything else to try to get something that we think is going to satisfy us, that ends up digging a hole deeper and darker than we've ever been in before? My God, I've done it though. Suddenly. It's like Hezekiah. You remember when he went in and did reform and brought revival. The Bible said that suddenly God showed up and the glory came. All because he chose God. The shepherds were rejoicing in the field at the birth of Jesus. And the Bible said suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, wow. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost arrived, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Every time there's ever been a suddenly where God is concerned and God's doing it for man, it's so overwhelming and so overpowering. It just knocks you to your face. I was listening to the psalm this morning, oh, fall on your knees. Hear the angels singing. Oh, my God. Listen. God, roll back the heavens for his son to come. Jesus died on that cross and said, it is finished for you and I. Our sins were forgiven. His blood, he went all the way to heaven, put the blood on the mercy seat there, sprinkled the blood. When that blood hit that mercy seat, an earthquake hit this earth, and the Father's hand reached down and he tore that massive curtain that weighed several tons from top to bottom. He didn't do it from bottom up, he did it from the top to the bottom. He said, ain't no priest going to be translated through here. It's going to be people that are washed in the blood that are translated into the kingdom of my dear son. And so we have access to God today. Somebody say access to God. Wow. What a deliverance. My God, what a deliverance. I have seen people in my lifetime run to the altar. I've seen them run to the altar by the dozens. That's phenomenal. I mean, and in your mind, you're thinking why they're running. I understand more about that now than I did then as a young man when people would get up and run to the altar and cry out to be saved, born again. Now listen, I'm going to give you a scripture. Isaiah 7 and 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The word sign here is from the Hebrew word ath. And the use of this word never refers to something that's ordinary, no ordinary event, but always something that is distinctive and always something that is special when it's used. And it's used of an action, things that refer to God doing something. So it is commonly interpreted and understood as a miracle. Everybody say miracle. A miracle. A miracle. God is simply saying to us today, Jesus Christ is the miracle that we all need. That we all need. He entered this natural world a supernatural way. And gave his life for you and I. Indescribable. Indescribable. Unutterable. I don't have words. But can I tell you this morning? Is that you need to leave all of the minutiae and the regalia and all the stuff that the devil uses to mess at your head. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. You need to push all that out. How am I going to make it? What am I going to do? I don't know how to. Push it out. And receive what Jesus did. My friend, it works. He took the time in eternity to come to this earth for those 33 years. See, we don't, that's one of the reasons I fear the Lord. I'm like, you chose me. You sought me out. You hung on that cross naked and ashamed, the blood drained out of your body for me. Don't you ever think God doesn't love you? God can take whatever you are and whatever's going on with you. You may feel insignificant, nobody, I can't, the whole nine yards. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus can take you in 1 second of time. This is when it happens. Somebody say, this is when it happens. It happens when you say, Lord, forgive me. The moment that comes out of you, man, see, it's hard to comprehend. The moment that I say that, all of heaven rushes to my aid, my assistance. But the power of that blood is released to me. His blood washes me. His blood cleanses me. His blood changes my life. Listen, it changed my thinking. It changed my speaking. It changed my demeanor. It changed my character. It changed everything about me. I mean, my God, I mean, yeah, I was like, I don't know whether I can live this. I don't know whether I can blah, 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 blah. But I know one thing. I sure don't want to spend another day in hell land. But I know the moment that I prayed that prayer, my God, it was so supernatural and so powerful when his blood washed me. That's why he called it born again. Born again. See, I know we're having a hard time, Steve, comprehending this. See, born again, that means if you were born into this world, you did not have anything in your record at all. Am I preaching to the right church? Amen. All they did is say, how long is that baby? How much did it weigh? How much, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? What color hair? What color eyes? You know, let's you know, but that little scale that we're going to, what did it score? Et cetera, APGARS, you know, all this kind of stuff. But you know what? It had no activity. There comes a day that things start getting accrued on the sin scale. But when you get born again, I don't care if you murdered Rob Banks, how that nasty, how ugly, how dirty, whatever you did, I'm going to tell you, when you get born again, it's indescribable, it's unspeakable, it's unutterable. When you get born again, you get to start just like that little baby did. Just like when you were born, you get to go all the way back. Can I tell you something else? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son is continually cleansing us from all unrighteousness. So this is the gift today. Let's all stand together. This is the gift. This is the gift that is indescribable. What do you need today? Man, I couldn't describe my situation to you. Well, I can tell you what. I'll trade you my indescribable for your indescribable. I'll trade you today, and God will trade you your unutterable, indescribable life for his. That's all it takes. Amen? Now, ready? Let's bow our head. If you are here today and you do not know Christ, or maybe you just never have understood. Maybe you've ran just like I did so many times. And you find yourself in that darkness and you find yourself depressed and beaten down by life. Today is the day that you can be born again. You can have the slate cleansed. You can start all over. You can have this indescribable gift, Jesus, to come into your life and so change you that you can't even describe it to people. It's so good. Maybe you've drifted away and you just need to be restored. Maybe you need to start fresh and new today. Maybe it's been a divorce. Maybe it's been an accident. Maybe it's just been through work. It could be 10,000 different things, you know, that bring you to that place. But today, everything can change. Everything can change that quick. That quick by praying a prayer. So right now, if you want to pray and you want the indescribable thing that God has for you, if you want that unutterable gift, I want you to step out and meet me at the altar today. If I could make that decision for you, I'd make it. Oh, how I would make it. I would make it. If you need Jesus, I want you to come right now. If you need that, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Obey the Spirit of God today.
is constantly jockeying for our lives. Depression, heaviness, sorrow, misery, pain, darkness. But Jesus, He brings light. He brings life. He brings joy. He brings peace. He brings glory. He brings change. If you need that, I want you to come. Meet me at this altar today. Meet me right here. Meet me right here. Only you can make that decision. Thank you, Jesus.